Good morning, everyone. My name is Maria. Today's reading is going to be from Exodus 18, verses 1 to 24. Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. After Moses had sent away his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro took her back, along with her two sons. The name of the one was Gershom, for he said, "I have been an alien in a foreign land." And the name of the other, Eleazar, for he said, "The God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh." Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came into the wilderness where Moses was encamped at the mountain of God, bringing Moses' sons and wife to him. He sent word to Moses, "I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons." Moses went out to meet his father-in-law. He bowed down and kissed him. Each asked after the other's welfare, and they went into the tent. Then Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had beset them on the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. Jethro rejoiced for all the good that the Lord had done to Israel in delivering them from the Egyptians. Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you from the Egyptians and from Pharaoh. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, because he delivered the people from the Egyptians when they dealt arrogantly with them." And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. The next day, Moses sat as judge for the people, while the people stood around him from morning until evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone while all the people stand around you from morning until evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You will surely wear yourself out, both you and these people with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me. I will give you counsel, and God be with you. You should represent the people before God, and you should bring their cases before God. Teach them the statutes and instructions, and make known to them the way they are to go and the things they are to do. You should also look for able people, people who fear God, are trustworthy, and hate dishonest gain. Set such people over them as officers over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Let them sit as judges for the people at all times. Let them bring every important case to you, but decide every minor case themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all these people will go to their home in peace." So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did all that he had said. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. This morning, I've been released from the church office to say a few things about Exodus chapter 18. If you look up chapter 18 in Exodus, or really if you peruse just about any modern translation of any book in Scripture, you inevitably find that thematic section headings have been added. These added headings give readers a brief description of the text that follows it. Sometimes when I'm reading, I get the urge to scribble out a heading and write in my own. That's what I'm going to do with the heading my Bible has for Exodus 18. The heading says, Jethro's Advice. I think it would be an upgrade to call this chapter Base Camp Reality Check. Keep that in mind as we consider this passage. No, not the scribbling out headings in your Bible part. That's entirely up to you. I mean, keep in mind the reality check angle. We're going to be coming back to it. Exodus 18 is an interesting snapshot of Israel standing still. In the chapters leading up to this, they're on the move. Further down the line, they'll be on the move again. But in Exodus 18, we see a day in the life of Israel where there isn't an account of their physical movement. Rather, it is an account of the direction their thinking needs to take. The chronological placing of this passage in Exodus raises a host of continuity issues. We're setting those textual conundrums aside because we have an opportunity to do something different and quite timely. Let's purposely look inside a wandering community when they're not wandering. Not only are they not on the move, they are camped at the mountain of God. They're at the foot of Mount Sinai, which means they're pausing in a spot where they can literally see where Moses will receive the Ten Commandments. It's a classic base camp situation. And when you're in a base camp, there's a good chance you're on the verge of something monumental. Let's check out Exodus 18's snapshot of the community of God's people. As we enter into the chapter, Jethro, the priest of Midian and Moses' father-in-law, has heard that God has liberated the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. Moses' wife, Zipporah, has been in the care of her father Jethro's household along with her two sons. And we're told that Jethro came into the wilderness where Moses was encamped at the mountain of God. Jethro sent word ahead that he was bringing Moses' sons and wife to him. And upon arrival, Moses greets his father-in-law. It's a real homecoming, a family reuniting and doing what families do when they get together. Warmly greet each other, check on everyone's health and well-being, and share their news. Jethro may be a priest, but this fact is only mentioned by the narrator once. He is identified as Moses' father-in-law a whopping 13 times. This is a family scene. They're catching up with one another. The news Moses shares with Jethro reminds us where Israel has been. His news is a tale of the extraordinary change that God has enacted in the wider region. The community has gone from being oppressed laborers in Pharaoh's Egypt to following God's Exodus instructions for their liberation. Now, here they are at their Mount Sinai base camp. Moses' news is covering all the hardships that have beset them as they escaped their past and all the wonderful things God has done to bring them to the present. It's worth noting that it's made clear that Moses shares news where Israel has been, yet there isn't a single word about Moses sharing news about Israel's future plans, news of where the community is going. That's because the community is standing still. Their past has been really active, what with following God's Exodus instructions and all. Now they're waiting for whatever comes next. But hey, enough of the preliminaries. Jethro has arrived and there is plenty to be thankful for. So that's just what they do. They give thanks to God. Here we get some real insight into the kind of man Jethro is. We already know he is a Midianite. With hindsight, we can see that Israel has a real mixed relationship with the Midianites. Some good experiences, but some really bad ones too. Even though Jethro is from Midian, he can plainly see that Israel's God is greater than all gods. He says exactly that. Quite unexpectedly, the narrator tells us that Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses, his father-in-law, in the presence of God. Wow. This is a pretty big endorsement of Jethro's character. Moses is the head of the community, but Jethro handles the sacrificial offering. And what about Aaron? The brother of Moses is right there with all of the elders of Israel. But Aaron, who with his offspring would be granted the exclusive right and responsibility to make offerings on the altar, is bypassed here. Jethro handles the offering. Aaron and all the elders of Israel come to Jethro to break bread in the presence of God. They come to him. Clearly, Jethro is an honored and trusted person. Okay, we've got a handle on Israel's news, the past they have left behind in Egypt, and we've got insight into Jethro's trustworthiness. Now we can look clearly at the snapshot we're given of the community's present base camp situation. The narrator describes the scene like this. The next day, Moses sat as judge for the people, while the people stood around him from morning until evening. Come again? Moses did what? Yes, the authority in this community sits with Moses. He is the last word on what's right and what's wrong. Moses has been given the responsibility and burden of administering day-to-day affairs. The present situation for Moses is a tough and demanding gig. How would you like to turn up at work one day and discover your new job description is administer justice and dispense wisdom for the entire community? Right. No pressure then. Maximum efficiency. Or not. Let's ask Jethro. When Jethro saw Moses' administrative skills in action, he said, "What is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you sit alone while all the people stand around you from morning until evening?" You can almost picture Jethro asking these questions nicely. All the while, he's really thinking, "Give your head a shake, Moses. Taking on everybody else's problems from sunup till sundown? Just what do you think you're doing?" But Jethro is a wise father-in-law, so he says his piece and waits on Moses' response. Moses replies, "Why do I sit alone? Because the people come to me and inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me and I decide between one person and another, and I make known to them the statutes and instructions of God." Meanwhile, back inside Jethro's head, he's thinking, "Whoa, you're kidding me. Reality check time. This way of running things isn't sustainable. You're going to burn out." Obviously, Jethro doesn't say that, but he does spell out the problem by telling Moses, "What you're doing is not good. You will surely wear yourself out, both you and these people with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me, I will give you counsel, and God be with you." To make a short story even shorter, I'm going to boil down Jethro's wisdom to its essence. Jethro's sage advice is, work smarter. It's a big community full of trustworthy talent. Share the workload. You're stuck in a present situation that needs to be re-examined. Now, we know that Jethro is pretty excited about the big change liberation of Israel. But Jethro can see that all the changes have worn Moses out, and his ministration style is wearing him out and the community out. The whole community? Yeah. How would you like to go to a government office that serves the entire city only to find you have to stand in a queue all day long because there's only one person answering questions? Yeah, folks are worn out. Leaving behind the past is a long-haul adventure. It can easily wear a community out. Jethro asked, "What is it you are doing? What is it you're doing for the whole community?" Because it was reality check time. He made a good case, and Moses, we're told, followed his advice. Now that we see this base camp situation for what it was, perhaps we can mine it for our own reality check. Let's take a moment to look in the mirror of Exodus 18. On their way to the base camp at the foot of God's mountain, Israel left behind a lot. Egypt, Pharaoh, sure. But they also left behind stability. Israel's deliverance is mentioned 5 times in the first 12 verses of this chapter. God's care and protection, it's a big deal here. And deliverance brings about big changes. Liberation from their oppressive existence in Egypt was not only an extraordinary gift for Israel, it also came with huge challenges. Basic things needed to be re-examined, like how do we function as a society of God's people? Israel are redeemed, but how do they operate the practical nuts and bolts of their society? Israel's wilderness reality is far removed from their days of making bricks out of straw for Egyptian overlords. With change, big change, they discovered there is a need for re-evaluation. Sound familiar? Our Grandview community has been through big changes in leadership. Then, bam, we got hit with the pandemic that changed the basic tools we have always used to gather together and to reach out to our neighbors. Regardless of how good or bad the status quo is, we all take comfort in routine, like packing into pews or launching another ambitious community outreach initiative. That's just the way we do it. What happens when there is a seismic shift in our community and the way we've always done it is left behind? It's no longer an option. Well, that's where we are. But it's not where we're going to stay. It's reality check time, Jethro. Our past is past, and with it, some of our known and comfortable ways may also be behind us. COVID will not last forever, even if it feels like that today. New pastoral leadership will join our community when the time is right. We are, like Israel in Exodus 18, people who have seen great activity in the past and we'll see something different in the future. Right now, we are looking up at the mountain from our base camp with a golden opportunity to discern and imagine what God has in store for us. Think about Israel and our snapshot of their base camp. Israel is face to face with Mount Sinai, and we know that the momentous gift of guidance from God, the Ten Commandments, it's just around the corner. Their community responses to the opportunities awaiting them can take on several different directions. When they're seen shifts, when they recognize that the wisdom gifted to them is their roadmap to future blessings, or they lose focus somehow and go off on some crazy golden calf tangent. How about us? Looking up at the mountain of change that is coming, on top of the changes we have been through and are currently knee-deep in, will we follow Jethro's advice? When Jethro came to Moses, he found that Moses was worn out. If he came to Grandview today, he would find the same. Jethro saw that sorting out the administration of the community was wearing out the community. If he came to Grandview today, he would find some seriously change and COVID-tired people. This season is our base camp opportunity to re-examine what a sustainable Grandview community looks like. As we emerge into our next season, we can take a page from Jethro's playbook. It's a big community full of trustworthy talent. Let's share the workload so that we might sustainably share the joy of being a community of God's people. This is our Exodus 18 Base Camp Challenge. Oh, and remember, when you're in a base camp, there's a good chance you're on the verge of something monumental.